Hear ye, hear ye, and welcome to the Royal Geek Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Rollison, also known as T-Roll, and tonight I'm joined by my very good friends. First of all, we have Justin Sandoval, a.k.a. Sandy, and we also have Anthony Amato, who we like to call Shimato. Boys, back again on the pod with y'all. How are you guys doing?
Great, man. Fantastic. I'm so excited about March Madness right now. I'm so pumped.
You're right. It's the season, man.
It is the season.
No, I actually hate it. I'm just, yeah, it was a joke.
Yeah, for Justin, it's March Sadness.
Yes, it is.
Justin hates just sports
he hates
that
joy.
Aren't. Yeah. Justin hates sports, ladies and gentlemen. He hates the passion and the heart of sports.
Yeah.
He's only in it for the money. So.
Yep, exactly.
He hates March Madness. But anyways, we're not here to talk about March Madness.
We are not.
Even though I wouldn't mind that. But we're going to talk. We're actually talk some Marvel Madness. All right.
Hey.
Talk some Marvel animation.
Yeah.
All right. This is the. Okay. So is this MCU canon?
Technically, I remember seeing an interview like 2 years ago saying that this was canon.
Okay. But.
But it's a 97.
It's clearly happening in 97 because there's like,
yes.
Someone said,
a pager.
Page
yes.
me. Yeah, yes. I heard that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he had money, so obviously not that.
Yeah. I also saw a cassette player fall from that Ferris wheel.
Yes.
That's not right. Even a CD player.
Tape,
it was a cassette tape. Okay, anyways. We are here to review X-Men 97, the first two episodes of this series. I don't even know how many there's going to be. There's going to be 10. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we got like 2 months of recording this. That'll be fun.
Enjoy.
I hope you guys are looking forward to it. If not, find another freaking podcast to listen to. speaking of which, thanks for listening to our podcast.
Seriously.
I want to remind you to subscribe wherever you listen. Follow us on social media at Royal Geek Pod. And, yeah, we really appreciate you. So, I guess this is your spoiler warning for Episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Of X-Men 97. So, where should we start here, guys? We just want to do a general...
I think we should start here, okay? We should start...
Where?
We're millennials, so...
We are millennials.
This came on Saturday mornings when we were kids.
Yes.
And I know, for me, personal experience, X-Men animated series was phenomenal. I was there, glued to my television screen, and every time... That opening intro hits, like, it's something that it just takes over your entire body, and you are zoned in, and you are there. So I would like to start with nostalgia-wise. It felt incredible to watch this opening credits because it was almost the exact same.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty much the exact same. I would like to throw out one of the best parts of the Ms. Marvel series was that 2 second stinger of this opening.
Yeah, that
was in Ms. Marvel. So you know, it was super, like, you immediately know what's happening when you hear that, and you're just seeing them like going across the screen. And I feel like, unfortunately, with the rise of the MCU, like X-Men has taken such a backseat in a lot of ways in the Marvel world. You know, same thing like Fantastic Four things. It's been this weird turn that if you haven't been like a Marvel fan or a comic book fan for, you know, more than, you know, 15, 20 years, like, you would be like, okay, who are these X-Men?
Correct.
Like you might have like a slight idea, but like these were big entities.
Yeah.
And then it before like, yeah, before 2008, these were big entities, you know?
Yeah, that's good. So I'm so glad we're starting here. Good jumping off point, Justin, because I am a millennial, but I'm younger than you guys.
Yes, yes.
So I would have been, when this came out, I would have been 5. So,
yeah,
I mean,
perfect age to be talking about discrimination, segregation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love bigotry.
I completely know what this is about.
5-year-old me just learning about bigotry. Gotta love it.
Yep.
No, but the truth is, I watch cartoons, but on Saturday mornings, but
not this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So welcome.
So all my X-Men love came from live action. So Gambit, who is like one of the most popular characters in X-Men.
Yeah. like, comics and animated series.
Right. I'm like, who was that? Yeah. You know, because they never pulled it off.
Yeah, I would say, like, live action wise, like, I've said this before, like, I have, like, four characters from the animated that were, like, my four big ones. Mm-hmm. In live action, I feel like only one of them got justice.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Like, out of my four, which my four are Wolverine, Cyclops, Gambit, and Rogue.
And Rogue.
Like, yeah, so, those are, like...
So let's talk about Rogue for a second. Okay, so we have some... Amato brought some...
figures.
Action figures on our table here. Nobody can see them because we're not recording this on video. Nope.
I just thought it'd be cool.
Inspiration.
Yes. Rogue looks sick.
Yes.
In the original, kind of, in this world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rogue doesn't look like an insecure little teenager.
No.
Like the movies, yeah.
Like the movies, yeah. Rogue's awesome. Rogue's awesome.
Yes.
How did they blow that so bad?
They blew it so bad, man.
Yeah. I almost, you know what I'm thinking? Bad. Like, I'm almost like, well, actually, I'm kind of glad they didn't really pull off Gambit, I guess. I mean, I know you said he was in...
Origins.
Yeah, yeah, and isn't he also in Days of Future Past, kind of? Or is that someone else?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
Okay, no. Never mind. I
mean, if he was, I don't know. No, I don't think he was.
I feel like I would have been more excited.
Sorry, I'm drunk. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No, I guess I'm just, I'm not actually drunk, but these characters, like, I just don't have an appreciation for them because.
Yeah, which I think by the end of this, I would love to come back to that.
I'd be happy to.
I think this is perfect to stay on the episode one of this podcast.
Yeah.
This is perfect. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I mean, and even also, like, Wolverine was like, I mean, yeah, he's cool, but.
Yeah. Dude, Wolverine's a side character in
X-Men. Yeah, he's a side character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not like a lead. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
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 So
it's messing with my
mind.
It's going
to be an adjustment. So,
Magneto's a hero.
So, should we start by talking about
that's a little like, yeah.
Well, yeah, wait on that.
I'll wait on that. I'm just messing around.
So, should we talk about the characters before we dive into the actual plot?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So, here's something that I've been, after watching these two new episodes, I remember as a kid, like, being a diehard Cyclops fan. Like,
yes.
I remember being, like, that guy, right, for Cyclops. And then live action came, and for some reason, like, my fandom went away. Well, obviously, the Cyclops was not that. James Marsden, I love the guy to death. He's awesome. But he did not do a fantastic job that he deserved, that Cyclops deserved.
Better than Rogue.
Well, no, here's the thing, okay? And then this episode reminded me of my childhood self. Yes. I was right all along. Cyclops is a cool character.
He is a cool character. I think part of it's just because of the live action. They decided, and I think it's directly related to Wolverine. I think they decided, we want Wolverine to be the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And we need someone to be the absolute foil of him.
Yeah.
And that is... That is Cyclops. What they decided to do with Cyclops, they decided to make him so bland. They've decided to, like, basically slap, hey, you know, we're going to take personality of, like, Superman, and we're going to make him that character, and we're going to make him, like, just bland, and he's going to be, you know, that way.
Uptight.
On one side, you have, like, we're going to put Jean Grey in the middle. We're going to have...
Love triangle.
Yeah, we're going to put that love triangle.
Which is still kind of there in the animated series.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is.
It's there.
But we're going to have a very, like, you know, the cool person, is going to be Wolverine, and just bland, like black and dry. We're not going to let anybody think about what side is the better side in this relationship.
Right. Yeah.
You know, which the animated series does a better job of, like...
Way better job.
Although, which is ridiculous, because, like, the animated series is supposed to be more for, you know, a younger audience, mm-hmm. whereas live action is supposed to be for a little bit of an older audience. But essentially what you have here is a reversal of it. It's like the animated is actually giving the audience credit for being able to think and being able to, like, you know, understand that, you know, there is a push and pull on both sides.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I think it was interesting to see Wolverine as a side character. But you could also still see, like, the beef that he has with Cyclops.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's real. Yeah, it's there. It's real. It's there. Animated and live action. It's there.
Yeah.
He's much more of, like, a character that, like, he's a side character, but he's a side character, like, that pulls attention anytime he's on screen.
Yeah. They did not utilize in these two new episodes... Rogue, like they did in the last ones. Like, Rogue is phenomenal.
She's amazing.
I think she will be by the end of this.
She has an important role to play.
Yeah, she has a very, very important role to play. She, but I will say, like, this kind of sparked my again, I'm like, oh yeah, Rogue, she's coming. Yes. Like, it's gonna be awesome. You're gonna see a lot of cool stuff. And then I was always a huge fan of Storm growing up. And when in the new episodes when they said that an Omega threat is coming, yes. And Storm just comes out of the sky.
Well, because you forget
yes,
that
you do how truly powerful like controlling weather
so
is.
So epic she actually is.
Yeah, and Magneto said, "You're the closest thing to a goddess we have."
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Well, also so you know, Charles Xavier, putting things into perspective, Charles Xavier was not an Omega level mutant. Storm is.
Yeah.
So and that's
Storm
essentially.
Was.
Yes, you are correct.
We'll get there.
Yes, but anyway, but like just to throw that into perspective, yeah. she is on next level above even Charles Xavier, who everybody thinks of as a like.
Yeah,
high end.
Yeah,
that is interesting. So, yeah.
And for me, I think Jean's the same. She's still kind of like she's annoying. She's kind of there to just kind of move the story along because she has like she's the brains. Like she's got everything figured out. Kind of annoying, but when she's Phoenix, that's another story. But we had a little nod to that.
Do we get that in the animated back in the day? Or
we did. It was an epic saga. It was probably one of the best our storylines in.
So let's talk real quick. Series. This is a remake /
sequel.
Sequel.
Yes. It's a continuation of the storyline because where we left off, we're in the original X-Men series. I mean, Charles Xavier was killed. Like, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
That was a thing. And so we're picking up right here, right after.
Okay.
Yeah. Beast, same. Like, all the other side characters, they're all the same. Like, they're all, like, kind of just there to be there. Gambit. Still cool. Still, his powers are still cool. They still, I don't know.
He's got red eyes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got black eyes with red pupils. Yeah. Pretty cool.
That's what I meant.
Pretty epic.
Yeah,
pretty
just like,
epic.
You know, super cool. I think one of the coolest things that we've, you know, don't forget about is like the teamwork that we don't see a whole lot in a lot of other like, superhero fights. Usually it's like these one-on-one situations.
Yeah.
But it was really cool seeing like the teamwork that happens with these like the scene where you know Wolverine and Gambit like where Gambit's like riding on Wolverine and he infuses his claws and you know it's just super cool stuff like that.
That was so sick.
Which I think the closest we've come to that was the Avengers movie in 2012. I think that's the closest we've come to like collaboration fights. Like I believe so. I don't know if anything recent. It's not
way too much for me to think about right now. But
I would love to see that in a future live action X-Men movie. I feel like if they can just take an ounce of what they're doing here in this newer animated series, then I think the future's bright for the X-Men.
I mean, think how cool it would be to see Storm charge up Thor. How cool would that be to just see her just like. Just bring it in and just like give him a little extra oomph as he goes.
Yeah, hold on. This can't be MCU canon.
Why is that?
Because if Storm's not a mutant anymore, there's no way we're gonna not have Storm in Marvel in like MCU.
Well, we watch the 10 episodes first. See what happens. I think I don't think it's permanent. We haven't got there yet, but I don't think it's permanent.
Okay. Beast said it was permanent.
Yeah, but Beast is a chump. So
hey now. It's messed up.
Yeah. So storyline. You want to get into this plot of
plot.
So episode one was kind of like a reintroduce. We had two epic fight scenes, which Cyclops completely highlights both scenes and
just how awesome he can be
rescuing a mutant kid from a warehouse that is
Roberto.
That is using Sentinel technology. I don't think I've ever seen in the previous animation Cyclops use his beam to like. Moonwalk, like to slide his body across the warehouse was absolutely epic.
Yeah, it was super cool. Like he was so he was so creative with his powers. Like, it was super cool seeing him do that kind of stuff. And I do feel like we did have a scene where like you almost got to see. It almost felt to me like the writers for the X-Men movies went up to this point, but then didn't read the rest of this page in a way. So like when he's tied up and they take off his glasses and he's like, oh, please, I surrender. And I feel like they stop like right there. And they're like, this is going to be James Marsden's character.
Yeah.
Like the entire thing. And then like the next line is him being like, not. And like, yeah.
Just kidding.
And yeah. Blows up the whole warehouse.
Yes, yeah, like just like lights up the place. Like
that is so funny, dude.
Like I just feel like they missed out on like how awesome he could be.
Right.
You know? And it really was cool just seeing him like be versatile with his with his powers. Yeah. And I did feel like it always felt like and I don't know if it was just because of like where they wanted him to be in the storyline in the live action version, but like he always seemed to be like tentative with his powers. He always seemed to be defensive.
He didn't want to unleash it. He was too worried about what he was going to do with his powers.
He didn't want to unleash it. He didn't
shy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. He was self-conscious about what's happening. He never really wanted to like. He never seemed confident in anything that he was doing with it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he really ever saw it as. He only ever saw it as the burden part of it, not as the, you know, the gift part. You know, and I understand like it being both a burden and a gift, but I don't feel like he ever really saw the gift of it in the live action version.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So like, there's a few like subplots going on right now. There's the like who's gonna lead the team with the X-Men, and then there's the government aspect of it is like mutants. Where do they belong? That kind of thing, right?
Which it's actually kind of a relatively positive place at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So they left on a high note because of.
You mean after episode two?
Well, even going into the series,
because like Xavier, he was assassinated,
he essentially becomes like a martyr,
gathered people to the cause, that kind of thing. Yeah,
like how the biggest. It's essentially so. You know, one of the biggest things is. That they've been likened to is like Xavier's Martin Luther King and Magneto's Malcolm X.
Yeah, right.
So like, and you know, him being assassinated kind of plays into that whole character, and like him dying for in his cause kind of like pushes the positive of the mutant relationship.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
However, at the end of episode one, we see that Magneto is standing in
Xavier's office. Yeah.
And with a apparent change of heart.
Yes.
Yes, he apparently has the will and testament of Charles Xavier. And apparently he owns everything now. He's got the rights to the mansion, the X-Men, everything like that. And he said he literally says a change of heart.
What an interesting like move by Charles.
Yeah, I think just what it's a true. Deep down, like he's just like he's my friend and he's always been my friend.
Yes.
And yes, we've battled, and Storm even says that you've been our biggest foe for a majority of our existence.
Yes.
And Charles just had faith in the end that he was going to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think the way like Charles saw their relationship was they were more like it was their points of view that were different. It wasn't that they were different as people. And I think that's the biggest thing that he was trying to get at is like this, like their methods may be different. The way they go at things may be different, but underneath they want the same result. They want the same, they have the same like drive and purpose.
Yeah. Essentially they do. Their tactics for sure are definitely different, but,
although I don't think Magneto ever felt like in his villain form, that he ever wanted to coexist. He even said that word as he was scoffing at it, which to me says they have different goals. Those are two different, radically different things.
Well, they both want mutants to flourish and be successful in society. That's their main goal for both of them. But Xavier wants them to be a part of the community, and Magneto wants them to be the community. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I feel like those are still radically different, though. You guys are saying they're like they want the same thing. It's like, no, they don't. I don't think so.
Well, I think a lot of it is like, Magneto sees. I think the reason why Magneto sees that they have to be the community is because he's seen the way that humans treat mutants, and it isn't necessarily that.
Look at Storm.
He wants to be necessarily the only thing, but I think the way he sees humans is that they are so, they are so prejudiced against mutants that the only way. Yeah. That mutants will ever exist is if humans are, you know, something is done with the humans.
Yeah. Eradicated.
Right. Yeah, and that's my point. Like, that's a lot different than what Charles is saying. So,
Charles is saying win them over. Yeah. And Xavier and Magneto saying,
finish him.
Just finish him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Finish them. But yeah, so he's got a change of heart, and everyone's kind of skeptical at the compound.
I still am skeptical, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Good. I was 100% thinking...
Dude, I thought he was about to crush
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was 100% thinking that Magneto is the reason for all of this happening in the first place. Like, he's kind of like... doing this
pulling
on purpose.
Strings, yeah.
But then when he brought everybody up into the sky and then had his little speech, I was like, dang. Okay.
Because that would be...
He's got to change of heart.
Because if he was... That would be the moment if that he was still be. Himself,
yeah,
right?
Correct. Because you have the power... I mean, you essentially... You're holding the government forces that are directly persecuting you.
Yeah.
In your hands. Literally in your
after,
hands.
After, like... Yeah. After Storm just took one.
Yes, yeah. Correct. But
like, that would be the moment.
True, yeah. But I also think this could be part of a bigger play by him.
Uh-oh, that's...
Because,
okay,
like, I really think that, I think Magneto is smart enough to understand that at that moment, that essentially what he would be doing is he'd be making martyrs of them. Mm-hmm. And I think he understands at that moment that he can get more leverage over the entire situation if he shows a little, like... If he shows a little grace at that moment, that means more in that moment, and it gets more towards his side than violence at that moment.
This is some. He's playing chess. If that's true,
how many times did you see them play chess in the live action?
Like, literally, yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's fair.
One too many. I think. I mean,
it's a fair point.
I see where you're going there. I think he could at any point in time. Just take over the entire government. The issue is the X-Men standing in his way.
Yes.
So are you saying that this is a play to gain favor with the X-Men so that he can accomplish his goals? Or are you saying that there's something even bigger in plan? Because I feel like he could easily just conquer the world right now, but if it wasn't for the X-Men.
I mean, I'm not sure, like, what his...
Because I can get behind that. I can get behind
it. I'm not sure, like,
why.
If what direction he's exactly leaning at the moment, where he's trying to win them over entirely, or if he's trying to just better position himself.
He's won over Cyclops by the end. So it's working. Whatever he's doing is working. I mean, if he would have destroyed the people up in the sky, then I would have been like, okay, yeah, obviously he's still crooked. But I actually do think... Knowing his relationship with Charles Xavier, and where he's at, and what his decision was of saving them and giving that speech, I think he has made the full turn.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. I'm leaning that way.
Yeah.
I'm leaning that way. Make him a Loki. Kinda.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is possible,
he's,
but
he's
but
a cool,
I will
he's
say
a cool
like,
hero too.
Essentially, what he would have done if he had crushed those people or done something to those people in this guy, or even if he had just killed the one dude,
guy.
Trap.
That still would have. Pushed a lot of people into one of those, in one of those like hate groups that are like human based.
Oh, the executioner. That's
yes.
who it was.
Yeah. The executioner.
About the Capitol Stormers.
Like
yeah, yeah, them.
Yeah, whatever they were.
Yes. Let's be real, dude. Those are Capitol Stormers, bro.
Anyway, but yeah, that would have pushed a lot
of
people
of
into that camp.
Friends of Humanity.
I knew it was like FOH, but I couldn't remember which one that was. But like. I do think that would have pushed more into that park, whereas this, he's pulled more people towards him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I think you're right, for sure.
Yeah.
Dang, man, you got a wicked cough, bro. You feeling all right,
I know.
Dude?
Yeah.
He was literally fine 40 minutes ago. Yeah. But
it's just the mics are hot.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. It's when it comes.
Yep. But Storm loses her powers at the end.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, too, because, like, Storm literally... She protected Magneto. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe
but that's who she is, though.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
you're right, hero through and through, right?
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter, like, who you're saving. You're saving somebody.
Yeah, because at least in her mind, in that moment, like, Magneto has been, at least up until that point, he's really been doing what he can to, like, be peaceful. So she wants to, you know, she wants to protect him from kind of what's going on there. And that dude, you know, I didn't know what he had at the time.
Right.
But now we learn he had some sort of...
power
what
taking
did
B away.
Say? What like, exactly did B say?
It was had something to do with... they infused the Sentinel gun with the collar
the
inhibitors.
Radiation.
Yeah, the radiation from the inhibitors. And I think that if there's weaponry like this, like, it's gonna be. We're gonna see a three-pronged battle with like the humans actually having a chance.
Wasn't this this? They had something similar in live action, right? What in yeah. one of the movies there was?
They were doing a cure, like they were doing like shots or something. Like they, and Rogue was going to get one because she can't touch anybody. That whole
which they also portrayed that in a tasteful way, mm-hmm. in a way that makes sense for this character. I don't want to talk about the live-action Rogue
anymore. Trust me, the animated Rogue
such a waste
brings,
of time.
It, brings her...
Which is actually interesting with the live-action version. The person that actually talks her out of it is Storm. Like, Storm is the one who's like, oh, no, it's not, like, this isn't some disease or anything like that. It is part of who you are.
Yeah. And, dude, look, again, for me, we also learned that Rogue and... You know, Rogue and Magneto got a little bit of a history. Maybe
they
learn. You guys might have known that.
Rogue and Magneto have definitely had something going on.
But again, from my perspective, someone who's never watched animation, all I'm thinking is like,
hey, yo.
Dude, that's an old man and a teenager.
Rogue's a little older in the series.
Yeah, for sure. And Magneto is not ancient like he is.
Right.
You know, the live action movies and before First Class.
Yeah.
But
it's
just
weird
for me because like they clearly did some major deviations with some of
the characters.
They did.
Which Gambit and Rogue have like they've had like a on again off again type of relationship, and obviously in this series it started with them on again.
Yeah, and who does she get with later in the live action?
Iceman.
Iceman.
Yeah.
Freaking Chuck Liddell over here, man.
Which we might get Iceman in this series. He's a prominent side character. Yeah.
Sorry. So I keep going back to live action because I know.
That's what
you know.
That's
what I know. Yeah.
But a couple of the subplots here is like Jean's having a baby and Wolverine is the one around to help her. And then
that was hilarious.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it's like why the one person left at the house. You leave Wolverine
exactly
with your pregnant wife.
Yeah.
Well, once again, it's a way to create that tension, you know, between Wolverine and Scott because
we've had some longing moments of him watching her and Scott interact, and he's like, "That should be me," that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's one of those ideas. It's like it's him being there when Scott can't be. It's like that idea of like.
Was the storyline around in the original series, though?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It was.
Well, that makes me feel a little better that they didn't just force it in live action.
No.
Like, seeing it in live action,
you'd
be like, that makes sense, although you might be a little surprised that they put their chips behind Wolverine.
Yes.
The studio did.
Correct, yeah.
But again, when you got Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman was the particular. Honestly, I think he was the factor, the X-factor.
They're like, oh, shoot. We got Hugh Jackman.
This guy's legit.
We hit the gold here. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, but I thought it was the scene where Wolverine's driving her to the hospital
was
really
great.
really fun.
He's like about to murder people, running them over,
and she has to save
save them, even though she's like you're going into labor.
Yes.
Yeah, but even though there's like a catastrophic event happening at the Capitol where these people are destroying mutants and stuff, they still were like, "Hey, Scott, go save your go be with your wife, like go."
Yeah,
but there's literally people dying around. Around them.
Dude, they literally did it at the Capitol, too.
I know what
they were doing, bro.
I know.
I think it's hilarious.
I love it.
Whatever.
I love it,
whatever.
But yeah, like, they were... I mean, that scene was funny. And then the baby's born, and then, like, Cyclops is there.
Yeah.
They give the baby a name, which obviously... Charles Summers, which is Cable.
Yes.
He grows up to be Cable.
Okay. That's funny.
Yep. Yeah.
Which Cable has some sick powers, like the telekinesis and the telekinetic stuff. Like it's cool stuff.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? Did you like this isn't plot related. This is like the look of it, the animation style.
Yeah, I really did actually. Yeah.
I think they pretty much kept what it was before, just a little crisper.
Upgrades, yeah.
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 Like
They
like
took
as if you went from a square TV to a high def flat screen.
Essentially,
which
is good.
It's fine.
Like,
it's fine.
Yeah.
So go from like PS2 graphics to like PS3 or 4.
Yeah.
No, but that's PS2 to PS4 is drastic.
Okay,
change.
PS2 to PS3. That's that.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I mean, that's. No, I think it's a little bit.
PS1 to PS2?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
That's what it's like. Yeah.
That would check out with the years, but
yeah. Yeah, it would. It would, yeah. And then there's this like other subplot of like just like the teen aspect, like Jubilee and like Roberto and like getting in touch with your powers and like fitting in and that whole
but that's
discrimination
always,
stuff.
Yes, like, that's trying to get into that. Always been the social commentary.
Yeah,
yes, X-Men,
which is
right?
It's funny because there's people out there on YouTube and like podcasts who are like, oh, this is like a woke show trying to push too political. Have you watched X-Men? Have you ever seen an X-Men show?
That's a
movie,
really good point.
Comic book. Like X-Men is
the most progressive.
Was created. X-Men was created to put eyes and help people realize that we are all different.
Yeah.
And we it's literally helped every movement that has ever happened. Whether it
is the entire point of X-Men.
You literally mentioned MLK and Malcolm X
correct.
Like 20
yes.
minutes
correct.
Ago.
Which,
Shibata.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like X-Men have helped the progression of the civil rights. It's helped the progression of like LGBTQ community. Like it's it is the stand in for all things that are minority and oppressed.
Yes.
Like
It's the entire point of it. Yeah. And so I do think, like, essentially what they need, they have these gears rolling with, like, the idea. They always kind of need a new mutant to, like, kind of have idea of, like, coming to grips with it because, like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, you have these older mutants who start out, you know, feeling that kind of way, but then they have to grow them up, like Cyclops, and then they're kind of, like, graduating a little bit from that idea. Well, then you got to bring in people like Jubilee, which they did at the beginning of the original series. Well, now Jubilee is kind of guiding, you know, Roberto and that kind of stuff. The next generation. So you're kind of just seeing this, like, they always kind of need this little plot here. She's just showing that, like, no matter how much these people grow up, how much ever they change, there's always going to be people out there who are feeling like they are not a part of the we.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's so I'm interested where that ends up, though.
Dude, even Magneto's, like, crushing origin story.
Oh, yeah.
Which he even hits on here. It's like, being Jewish. It's like, it's like, I love how you said, Justin, have you never watched anything with X-Men before?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, like, a bunch of experts talking about it. Like, they have no idea what's going on. Yeah, so.
That quote-unquote experts, yeah.
But I think it's really... It's gonna play out well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm truly excited to see what the next 8 episodes bring because they're laying these first 2 episodes lay down quite a bit, man.
Yeah.
I mean, losing powers, Magneto coming into power with the X-Men, actual X-Men, Scott and Jean giving birth to Cable. Like,
yes.
By the end of episode 10, do we get a full Cable coming back from the past or from the future?
I really think so. Yeah. Well, we had a future Jean Grey.
Dude, that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Speculation.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, speaking of the future.
Shoot, man, there you go.
What the flip was that?
Yeah. So future Jean Grey is
this like the Days of Future Past storyline here, you think?
We might see a very large inspiration of that.
And you guys want to speculate on that at all, or is it just too... I don't even know how
we're most likely the most likely storyline that we will get moving forward here is the close to the Days of Future Past. Like the future is so screwed up, it's effed. The Sentinel program is crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody slipped through a Sentinel program through and it got a past and now the future's paying for it and they gotta send some people back to stop it. That's basically
It's very possible. I think we're definitely gonna get a full grown Cable.
Yeah.
You know? I would love to see a scene of like Cable having to take care of Cable. I would love to get like taking care of baby Cable, like, you know, just like in a baby
funny.
Bjorn, just like having to take care of himself would be pretty.
Or like he's holding his baby self and he's like, that's what my good eye looked like. Like it's like a reference like that.
That's good.
Oh man. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what happens. I do think it's going to be time travel-y, whatever this main storyline is.
Can't wait.
You're the one who should be really excited.
Buckle up.
I'm excited to see Morph and where he goes.
Yes, I was just about to bring that up.
His abilities alone are fantastic. Like we saw Psylocke and we saw
Blob, Angel and Blob. Yes,
yep.
That was super cool. It's a great way to like remind you,
Sabretooth at the end when him and Wolverine. What the heck? Dude, that was so awesome.
Yeah, it was a great way to
try to comfort Wolverine. Correct. He doesn't want it. It's like, all right, well, let's fight.
Yeah. Sabretooth is all about that life.
Yeah, it's a great way to give winks and nods to these other mutants.
Correct.
Without really having to give them storylines or anything else. It's like, hey, 5 seconds, it's really cool. It's almost like Beast Boy in Teen Titans, where he's he's just whatever power he needs at that moment, he jumps into it, and once again, it shows the teamwork. Was it really necessary to have him turn into blob so that somebody could jump on him to get up?
No.
But it was super cool because you get to see the character, and it's like you see the teamwork, and it's like, once again, it goes back to the whole the community of what X-Men is and everything like that. Them working together in teamwork is a legitimate, is their way of showing that, they can work together. They can be a part of a community,
And I'm also intrigued to see which other mutants come along. There's going to be, we saw Roberto, who's Sunspot. Yeah. We saw, will he manifest fully, or who else will come in? Iceman, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I'm excited to see the rest of the series. It really brings back to childhood nostalgia too, and they executed.
I think it's gonna be interesting. There's gonna be some who's the enemy? If Magneto's not the villain, it's my first guess is continuation of just angry bigot humans.
Correct.
It's gotta be Friends of Humanity people that.
I mean, the Sentinel Trask, program.
Maybe Trask.
Do we have enough time to do Mr. Sinister? I don't know. I feel like that's a possibility, but we'll see.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, where it goes. I don't think they've really, laid out a true idea of what the villain will be yet.
Correct. Well, right now, the villain is humanity. Right now. That's the only villain. Yeah, I know. That's the only villain that is here right now.
Well, it's actually very interesting because, it's not just humanity. It is very much showing that at this moment in the timeline, humanity's soul is up for grabs, is the way I see it. Because you have these entities like Friends of Humanity, but you also have this strong government entity that is very pro X-Men at the moment.
Yeah.
So you're seeing this power struggle almost, where it's at this moment you're it could go either way. And that's what they're trying to show is at this moment, and which would lead to the idea of, okay, this is why Jean Grey would come back to this moment in time. Why they're even doing this timeline at all? Why are they telling us this story? It's because this moment matters.
Yeah.
This is the moment where one side, one person is going to jump out and is going to push. What will happen is they'll push humanity in a direction where it becomes, coexisting with mutants, and then the other one will be, destruction of mutants and the potential Sentinel programs growing up and building things like that.
Yeah.
It's very possible that those Sentinels, maybe they're not even from our timeline. Maybe they were dropped here by someone else from a future timeline Trask, where he is, what's happening there. So, because they did say that they destroyed them. What if they really did destroy them and those are just, from a future.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Man, very exciting. It's fun to have a something X-Men to.
I know.
Is this the first time we've reviewed something X-Men related?
New Mutants.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, Shimano.
Yeah.
That's it.
You shouldn't have done that to me.
On that note.
I was about to end on a joyful happy note.
Yeah.
Seriously though,
that's fun talking about.
Joyful happy note. Yeah. We're unlikely to see any of the people from New Mutants.
Thank God. Dude, that is so so unforgettable that I can't even remember. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
Off the pod. But anyways, it's good to have something X-Men related. It's good to have some animation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, and it's nice to have that, we're going to have, this is going to be a staple for us the next. Oh, go ahead.
I will say, you said it's good to have animation. If we didn't have animation, we wouldn't get the cool airplane blows up and Cyclops using his freaking laser beams to softly land on the ground.
Yes.
That was one of the sickest
scenes. And cause a 7.8 earthquake.
Yeah.
Yeah, magnitude earthquake. Yeah.
He's like, everyone's good? Okay, cool. And he like smiles and he like blasts the largest
crater the earth
ray and then lands in the crater.
Yeah.
And then to me, my X-Men. And
yes.
They all like,
yeah, yes.
Dun, dun, dun. That's so sick, dude.
Yes. Like, yeah. That, it was such a, you know.
Only in animation.
Yeah.
Could you execute
it's super
that?
Cool, like, you know, seeing that because it's also like, he didn't do that until he made sure that everyone on his team was already safe.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, like, so like, he was willing to like.
Yeah.
Do whatever needed to be done before that.
It's also convenient to have at least three people that can fly. That's
yes.
That's
oh, very
and Morph who can just make himself
right,
fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, Morph can make himself fly. You know, Rogue can fly. Yeah,
so,
yeah,
that great. Helps. That helps.
It does help.
But anyway,
I wish I could fly. Anyways, hopefully you flew through this podcast, and hopefully you come back next week as we review episode number 3 of X-Men 97. Had a really good discussion on this one. So yeah, we hope that you return. Share this podcast with your friends, any Marvel friends you have, any X-Men fans that you know. Share this podcast with them, and be sure to come back next week. With all that in mind, for my good friends Sandy and Shimado, this is T-Roll saying thank you so much for listening to the Royal Geek Podcast. We will see you next time, you mutants.